Good morning and welcome to BUMC Online, the online campus of Broadway United Methodist Church. We are here to create a safe space for you to connect to Christ and to the church. Wherever you might be, whoever you are welcome here. No exceptions. If this is your first time with us, we would love to know that you are here. You can do that by using this platform to click the connect communication sheet button at the top of the screen or the invite that just popped up in the chat, or you can go to our website, broadwayunited.org/share. Throughout this pandemic, we have been lighting a candle and sharing in Holy Communion here and in our homes to remind us of our connection to Christ and to one another wherever we are. So have those elements ready, the bread, the juice, and your candle here in just a moment. You'll be needing those. In just a few short weeks, we will enter the season of Advent, a time of hope and anticipation for how God shows up in our world this year, maybe more than ever. You and I need to be intentional about reminding ourselves of these truths, that God is with us, we are not alone, that God doesn't leave us or our world to chaos, but has sent his own son to lead us, to guide us, to be God with us. Think of it this way. If you and I lead into Advent this year, Christmas might have more meaning for us this year than ever before. So let me encourage you to sign up for a growth group that will go along with the sermon series, or to buy a book that will also go along. You can read along and be part of what is being preached each week and learning on your own. And you can find that and more at our website, broadwayunited.org/advent. Also, you can shop this year for a child through Broadway's Christmas store. We'll send you a push notification after worship today. And if you have the Broadway app, you'll just get that. Or you can go to broadwayunited.org/Christmas store to sign up to shop or volunteer to work the store. Now, would you join me in the words on the screen as we light the Christ candle and as we remind ourselves that God is in fact with us, our life and our light. Join me in the words on the screen. When the path before us is dark, your word is our light. When we can't find a sure footing in life, your word is our lamp. When the whole world was only chaos and darkness, you spoke a single word, and there was light. Speak into our world today and into our lives. Just say the word, and the night will be like day. Amen.
Great to be with you today. Greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's sing this one together. It's a new one. I hope you enjoy it.
Sister, one with our brother, one family by the blood, make us one. Together now and forever, Jesus be glorified. afraid. We repent of all the pride, let all the hurt be washed away. For all the world's violence against our enemy, come heal our land with your great river. Restore the family and make us one. Make us one. Let your kingdom come. Make us one. Make us you have angels dancing on your shoulders. 'Cause at times in life you need a helping hand. Here in heaven, we will wait for your arrival. exalted one, Jesus.
Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Jesus.
I sing Jesus. Anointed One, Jesus. Let's sing Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Risen
exalted One, Jesus.
Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto
Jesus, Jesus, just be with us today. Let us find our peace in your presence. We give you praise. Amen.
Today's scripture comes from Psalms 119, verses 97 through 105, and it says this. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me, and you make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, online campus. Pastor Laura here. I'm so grateful to get to be with you all today. You've probably heard me say before that I grew up in a small town in Western Kentucky. And so whenever I would come to Bowling Green, I would get to see all of these amazing things. You know, things like stoplights and nice sit-down restaurants and shopping malls. But my favorite thing about Bowling Green by far was getting to see my Aunt Penny. She lived here and served as a teacher at Alverton Elementary School. And she would often have me and all my cousins come and stay with her and take us on these grand adventures. But of all the different trips that we took and all the activities that we engaged in, the one that stands out most vividly in my mind was the trip she took me on to Mammoth Cave. It was the very first time that I had ever been there. And so I can remember even the car ride there. I was both excited and scared at the same time. I was super curious about what it was going to be like, but I was also pretty concerned because, like, what if we couldn't get out of there? And so when we got there, we started going down the man-made stairs, and there was all kinds of artificial light to help us navigate our way. And so I was feeling pretty good about things. When suddenly we came into this big open room in the cave. And we're standing there kind of surrounded by all these strangers on the tour when our guide did this very unexpected thing. He turned out all the lights. If you've been there like me, then you know that this is what it looks like. Utter darkness. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And so I started to feel a little out of control in that moment. I felt my entire body tense up because, you know, there were people around me. There could be critters crawling around and I couldn't even see to protect myself. I could feel my heart racing and I could feel my palms sweating. I felt absolutely helpless. When all of a sudden, the guide lit a single light in the darkness. And the soft glow of the light began to fill up the space. It began to pierce the darkness. Could we see everything? No. But we could look down and see our feet once again, and I could see the path in front of us. And most important of all, that little light was illuminating our guide, who I knew I could trust to get us out of there. The psalmist, in the passage that we read earlier today, he found himself in a different kind of utter darkness. He found himself not in the depths of a cave, but in the depths of despair that come from the difficulties in life that we face. Over the course of the 176 verses in this psalm, which makes it not only the longest psalm, but the longest chapter in the whole Bible, we learn from him that this is how he's feeling. He says, I am laid low in the dust. He says, my soul is weary with sorrow. He reveals to us that he is being slandered and taunted, mocked, persecuted, despised, and smeared with lies. He tells us that he is being held in contempt and scorn as his enemies plot his demise. He is troubled. He is oppressed. He is distressed. He is in darkness. A darkness that is so dark that there is no way that he can see himself out of it. He needs a light to pierce his darkness. I'm gonna guess that during this pandemic that all of us have found ourselves in dark moments, that all of us have found ourselves in moments of helplessness, in moments when we can't really figure out what the next step forward will be for us, in moments when our lack of control becomes absolutely abundantly apparent to us, in moments when we are facing a challenge when we have no strategy for, because we never ever would have dreamt something like this up. At the beginning of the pandemic, we were only like 3 days in when I began to feel the darkness set in. You know, so many new and different challenges were being thrown at us. I was working at home for the first time and at the same time trying to figure out how to school my son. Teachers, you have my highest respect in the world. You know, I was trying to figure out how to scavenge for the essentials that we needed at the grocery store. I was trying to figure out how this virus works and how I could take good care of my family. And it was just all so much that kept piling up to the point that I felt absolutely overwhelmed by it. I was low on patience. I was low on knowledge. I was low on rest. I was low on hope. I felt that helplessness. And so at some point, I finally had to just like write this little note to myself that simply said this: I guess I haven't learned that yet. As a simple reminder that I've returned to again and again, that I needed light, that I needed help from beyond myself to navigate this. But here's the question: where do we turn when we realize this? Where do we turn in these moments when the darkness begins to set in and we need a light to pierce our darkness? The psalmist, he reveals to us where he turned in verse 105. He says to God in this verse, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Your word. From the beginning of time, God has spoken light into our darkness. When this world was formless and empty, and there was nothing but darkness over the depths of the deep, what were the very first words that God said? He said, "Let there be light." And there was. And he saw that it was good. And from that initial moment, he has never stopped speaking light-giving words into our world. At some point in time, these words of God, they began to be written down. People started to record them for us, which has given the gift of Scripture to us. The gift of Scripture through which God speaks to pierce our darkness. The gift of Scripture through which God speaks so that we can see our way forward. The gift of Scripture through which God speaks so that we can have our steps illuminated and move in the direction of life and meaning and abundance. Scripture is indeed this beautiful gift to us. But how does it exactly work? How does God speak to us through these ancient, sometimes confusing, sometimes appearing to be contradictory sounding words that were written down, you know, in very different times to very different people and in very different places? How can these words speak to us today? How can these words be a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path in 2020? Is that even really possible? I want you to know today that the answer to that question is yes. But how we approach Scripture matters. There are some common misconceptions about how the Bible works that can stand in the way of us receiving the light that God so wants to give to us. And so today I want to name some of those misconceptions for us so that we can get the disappointment and the disillusionment that these misconceptions tend to bring so that we can take them and just get them out of the way. It's important for us to understand what the Bible isn't so that we can more fully embrace what it is. And so the first thing that we need to understand about the Bible is this. The Bible is not Wikipedia for followers of Jesus. Most of us have probably used Wikipedia before. It's the online encyclopedia that you can access anytime, anywhere. And so, just hypothetically speaking, not that this would ever happen in my home, but imagine that you're having a disagreement at your kitchen table at dinner time. You know, you're disagreeing over, say, how fast a cheetah could run. No problem. You can solve that problem right then and there. In a few seconds, you can not only have that fun fact pulled up, which is 68 to 75 miles per hour, just in case you're wondering, and you can also have your answer along with more information about a cheetah that you will ever need to know in a lifetime. It's pretty amazing stuff. Wikipedia is this quick and easy way to find answers to our questions. And often when we come to Scripture, we come with that very same expectation. We come to God's word looking for quick and easy answers to life's problems. We want to be able to come and go to a specific passage that will be able to tell us all that we need to know so that we can just move on. But here's the problem. God did not design the Bible to be a reference guide. He desires to give us something so much more through the words of the Bible than concise answers to questions that arise. The Bible is not Wikipedia for followers of Jesus. And the Bible is also not the Waze app for our lives. If you're not familiar with the Waze app, it's kind of the ultimate driving navigation experience that you can have in the palm of your hand on your phone. It not only gives you turn-by-turn commands to get you where you want to go, but it kind of knows all the local shortcuts that you can take, and it tells you all the things that you need to avoid, the things that might slow you down, like traffic or the police or accidents or construction. It's pretty nice. It kind of takes all the guesswork out of getting to your desired destination. It's so nice, in fact, that we kind of want to have that same experience when we come to the Bible. We want it to take the guesswork out of it for us. We want it to give us crystal clear commands that lead us to happiness and to God's kingdom. We want it to say to us, do this, don't do that, go here, don't go there, so that we can be sure that we're headed in the right direction, that we're not getting off track. But guess what? The Bible wasn't meant to be a navigation system for our lives that gives us turn-by-turn instruction. While there's certainly commandments that we can find in the pages of Scripture, they're certainly not exhaustive. You know, they don't address everything that we're going to face as we journey through this life. And all of those commands that are there, they're set in certain contexts that aren't the same that we might find ourselves in that moment. And so we at least have to stop and to contemplate that a little bit. The truth is, God, he wants to do so much more through Scripture than give us a checklist of commands for us to follow to get to our destination. The Bible is not the Waze app for our lives. And finally, it's important for us to understand that the Bible is not a weapon. One of my very first memories of the Bible when I was a little girl is standing in my Sunday school classroom in a line of boys and girls with our Bibles by our sides. And then hearing our teacher saying to us, present arms. And so we would put our Bibles up in front of us. And then the teacher would call out some scripture address like John 3:16, and then say to us, charge. And whenever those words were spoken, we would just like breathlessly start flipping through the pages, and we would find the verse and put our finger there, and the very first person to find the verse and start reading it aloud, they won. And then everyone else would be called back to attention. These Bible drills, as we call them, they definitely helped me be able to very quickly find things in the Bible, which, you know, is kind of nice and honestly something I relished because I kind of like to win. But it also planted within me this other misconception about Scripture that isn't helpful to us. There is this temptation for us to approach the Bible as if it is a weapon for us to wield, as if it is a weapon for us to defend ourselves and to defeat others. We can come to it wanting to win, reasoning like, if I can find a scripture here and a scripture there that support my position, then I can use that to create this game-ending, show-stopping, mic-drop moment where I just say, well, the Bible says X, and so that does it. You know, we want to use the Bible to sever hard and uncomfortable and complex conversations. We want it to make it very cut and dry, plain and simple for us. But I don't know if you've ever noticed, but people across history, they've used this same book to support and to argue polar opposite sides of arguments. You know, you can look back across history and see how that's happened when people have argued about slavery or the accumulation of wealth or the use of violence or the role of women. And the list can go on and on and on. The Bible was not designed to be a tool that protects us and that attacks others. The Bible is not a weapon. And so what is it? What does it do? What is it that God invites us into? How does he want us to engage with the Bible? Well, the goal of God in Scripture can be summarized really in one word: wisdom. Wisdom digs deeper than quick and easy Wikipedia answers. It means that we have to wade into some mystery at times. Wisdom goes beyond following ways, turn-by-turn commands. It means that we're going to have to wrestle and use some discernment, at times leaning on others for understanding. Wisdom won't settle for a weapon that we use to protect ourselves and to attack others. It means that we are going to have to always come with the posture that we have something more to learn ourselves. As I say all that, maybe that sounds kind of scary. Maybe that sounds hard. Maybe we're not sure we really want that. But let me tell you why wisdom is more than worth it. When we come to the Bible seeking wisdom, we encounter the one who came to be the wisdom of God for us. When we come to the Bible seeking wisdom, we encounter the one who came as the Word of God in the flesh. When we come to Scripture seeking wisdom, we encounter the one who came shining as a light in the darkness. Instead of answers, instead of commands, instead of ammunition, when we come to the Bible seeking wisdom, we get Jesus. We get this dynamic relationship with Him, this relationship that creates the power and the possibility to transform our lives like absolutely nothing else can. We get to go on this journey with Him of understanding more of who He is and more of who we are and more of what He is up to in the world. We learn to recognize His voice and to trust Him so that when the difficult and the dark days come and we need help beyond ourselves, then we know that He is right there. That He is right there ready to shine a light that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that He is right there, ready to guide us. Lectio Divina is an ancient practice that guides us to come to Scripture seeking wisdom. It encourages us to come to the Bible, not seeking our own agenda, but to come rather prepared to hear whatever it is that Jesus has to say to us. Its goal isn't for us to amass more knowledge. The goal isn't for us to kind of critically analyze the text, but rather the point of Lectio Divina is to have our hearts transformed by the one that we encounter within the pages of the Bible. It creates this sacred space for us to come into the presence of Jesus, to be in conversation with Him, and to receive wisdom. Whenever we engage in this practice of Lectio Divina, the text that we read, it'll be read for us four times. And each time we will listen to the text with a different goal in mind. First, we'll simply read the text. Next, we will reflect upon it. After that, we will respond to the text. And finally, we will rest in it. We'll read, reflect, respond, and rest. This is a practice that you can do in community with other people. It's also a practice that you can do on your own, by yourself. And so if you find it to be meaningful today, something that's helpful for you, I hope that you'll give it a try on your own in the week ahead. But as we come now to engage in this practice together, my hope is that as we come to the pages of Scripture, that we would encounter the one who came to be the wisdom from God for us, the one who is the Word who took on flesh, the light who shines in the darkness. And so if you would, put your feet flat on the floor and get into a comfortable position. Go ahead and close your eyes as we enter into this prayerful reading of Scripture. Come, Lord Jesus, light of the world, and pierce our darkness. Work through these words to make them be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As I read the text this first time, listen for the word or phrase that jumps out and really captures your attention. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take a moment now to recall the word or the phrase that struck you, that stood out, and repeat that word or phrase to yourself. Let it sink in. Now let me invite you to reflect on this passage. As I read it for us once again, keep in mind that word or phrase that stood out to you. And consider this question: how is my life touched by this word? What is it in my life that needs to hear this word? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Having read and reflected on this passage, as you hear it read for the third time, contemplate how you will respond. Ask yourself, how is God asking me to act or to respond to what he said to me today? Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Finally, as we listen to the text one last time, rest in the word of God. Thank him for being present with you and speaking to you today. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus, for the light that you bring to our lives. Thank you for meeting with us through these words today. May they continue to guide us as we go from this place. Amen.
And now let's share in Holy Communion together using the words on the screen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you do drink this, remember me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Would you pray with me? God, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup? May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Holy Spirit, with your Son, Jesus Christ, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let's share together.
Make me whole. Oh, green light of light of your grace, fill up my heart.
Thanks again for worshiping with us today. In this strange time, when you see us and we don't see you, I am nevertheless reminded again and again as I hear stories of the ways that you are connecting to our mission of Invite, Grow, Serve in this time. In recovery ministry, they say things like, just keep showing up. It works if you work it. And so thank you for continuing to show up. Thank you also for giving to Broadway's ministry. Through the Give button on this platform or on our app or at broadwayunited.org/give, you are a vital part of our mission as you give and as you cultivate a heart of generosity. And thank you for finding ways to serve, even now. A reminder, we'll send you a push notification right after worship to volunteer for Broadway's Christmas store. Basically, you'll purchase 2 shirts, 2 pairs of pants, socks, shoes, underwear, and a coat for a child this Christmas. And then you'll drop those off or have them delivered so that parents can come and pick up those items for their children. You can sign up to provide those items or to volunteer for the store through the app or at broadwayunited.org/Christmas store. And now, let's decide to live for Christ this week, in the week ahead, wherever we might be, and to send one another out in the encouragement that we have as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We are united in our love for God, our love for neighbor, and our mission of Invite, Grow, Serve, and also our experience of God's amazing goodness to us. Let's send one another out in the words on the screen. Friends, as we go from here, let us rid ourselves of every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily impedes our progress. Let us run the race that God has set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. And as we run, know that the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is always with you. Amen. Go in peace.